Fellas, getting engaged is a special time for many. The only thing that's not so special is buying an engagement ring when you have no idea what you're doing. Look at you, you little idiot. You got no idea what you're doing. Lucky for us, that's where BlueNile.com comes in. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler and has been helping couples create the perfect ring since 1999. A very, very familiar date for me. Now look, imagine spending all this money on an engagement ring only to find out there was a better deal after the fact. With Blue Nile, you don't need to worry because they offer a diamond price guarantee, which means they can usually meet or beat a competitor's price on a similar diamond. With Blue Nile, you can create bigger, more brilliant pieces at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. And they're committed to ensuring the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing their diamonds and jewelry. Blue Nile also guarantees service and repair for life, as well as 100% satisfaction guarantee with free shipping and returns. If you're looking for the perfect engagement ring, I recommend you check out BlueNile.com. Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com. Mr. Daily Dose joining us on the podcast.
Hello, everyone. This is your Daily Dose of podcast.
Oh my
Here we
God,
have,
he did it!
Schlatt and Ted.
He did the thing. He did the roar.
Dude, can you just talk like that the whole time? And not, forgive me if that's weird, but like the whole hour we do this.
Yeah. I have my regular voice is just kind of like this, and then I have my streamer or my Daily Dose voice is more a little stressed out like this, and it just sounds a little more clearer, a little more crisp, and friendlier.
Now, have you thought about doing customer service? Because if my fridge got delivered like it did today, completely dented, my new factory new fridge from Best Buy, and it had a bunch of freaking dents on it, and I called you, and you were like,
"Yeah, hi, sir, is your refrigerator running?"
Yeah, my fridge got fucking dented. My factory new fridge that I just paid $2,000 for, you're supposed to deliver today, and it got a dent in it.
Well, you better catch it. That's the end of the joke.
Welcome to Chuckle Sandwich.
We actually have him, ladies and gentlemen. The Daily Dose of Internet is joining the pod today. My name is Schlatt. I've got Ted, and I've got Tucker, and I've got Mr. Daily Dose himself joining us today. This is a dude. He's got 300 million video views a month. I would get that in a decade. What the hell? This guy's on a roll. What's going on, Mr. Daily Dose?
The health of the channel is really good and beautiful, and it's the best it's ever been. And I'm so excited for the future of Daily Dose. And it's all because of Shorts, honestly. Shorts is amazing and fantastic. And if you are a creator or someone who wants to do YouTube and you are not doing Shorts, you're missing out.
This feels like a call with my partner manager, who I got on the phone with to have a very serious discussion about the monetization issues on my channel. And he played a 6-minute long Shorts introductory video for me over the call.
And how'd that go?
Terribly.
So you just had to, that was just like they played a fucking...
Yeah, screen shared a video that was on YouTube. That's
just easily available to you as if they're...
Yeah.
Wow.
Mr. Dose, you spend your whole life scouring the internet for funny, wacky, interesting videos. I assume this is not what you do in your leisure, right? I mean, if it was, then that would be great. But I mean, surely you have something else you enjoy a little more.
Yeah.
What's your daily dose? You know,
my daily dose is
Ritalin. Like,
no, I don't take Ritalin now. I used to do Adderall and stuff, but I stopped. I stopped doing that like in college. Hmm. I mean, I got ADHD or ADD or one of the two or both or whatever.
Rock on, ADHD gang.
Well, does everyone here have ADHD? I feel like the most successful people on the internet typically have ADHD or ADD, right?
No, I'm perfect.
Yeah, Schlatt's perfect. He's got nothing wrong with him.
Well, okay. Well, I feel like it's a superpower because, like, for me, like, if I need a lockdown, like, ADHD is great for that because if I need to do a task and I'm stressed about, like, timelines and stuff, I just grind it. It's a great focuser, but it only works when you are you know,
actually interested in the thing that you're trying to do.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Otherwise, you like find a. Are you a game? Are you a gamer at all, Mr. Daily Dose?
Yeah. So I will play Fortnite with a friend of mine, and we do duos on Fortnite. And it's crazy to think about, but I think Fortnite is my favorite game of all time. And it might be a little cringe to say that because, you know, I'm 30 years old, but. Mm. And I know
everybody
they have
knows that your license for Fortnite is revoked after you go from 29 to 30.
Isn't that how? Well, here's the thing, because they, you know, Apex is and all these other shooters are for adults. It's just Fortnite for adults.
Yeah.
But Fortnite's supposed to be for children, basically, or teenagers. But
it's like Apex Legends is like Legos, whereas Fortnite is Lego Duplo. Is sort of what you're trying to say, right?
Mm. Maybe. But here's the thing: we just play it casually. And we were so good at one point. I think last year we were the 517th ranked duo in the world.
What
the fuck?
We had like a 70% win rate.
What?
It was bananas. And it's the reason why is because we would only get like 2 kills a game. We just, you know, hide in a bush.
Just hide?
Yeah.
That's so funny. Well, Tucker, our producer on the show here, we will play Warzone every now and then, and yeah. Tucker's the thing that he likes to do is he likes to grab a sniper and just shoot at people from really far away, and I'm like the fucking like little kid that's frothing at the mouth trying to like run in there and just get myself killed in blaze of glory. But Tucker's like, I want to sit. He's like, Tucker likes to basically fish in battle royale games. Tucker, do you have anything to say about that clarification there?
I just like to weigh my options before we run in and get ourselves killed, so we have to restart.
Yeah, you see, he's ridiculous. I don't understand.
That is how they do it in the Marines, so you don't die. If you played Warzone like a child, and you took that knowledge into the Marines, you'd probably die, right?
Yeah.
It's not how it happened in Ender's Game.
If it was real life, you probably shouldn't run out in the open like at all.
Yeah, no, you probably shouldn't. You probably should just hide in a bush.
I want Daily Dose. Write this down. Be writing this down.
Yeah. Dude, okay, I'm not going to write any of this down because everybody knows that all of the heroes in the war movies are those guys that, like, pick some guy up on their back and they were running through fire. There's bullets flying over their
American head. Sniper, Chris Kyle, national hero. That was my favorite propaganda film.
That was a great movie.
Ugh, dude, when he shot the kid...
Shot the kid. I remember watching. It was like 2014 when it came out. What was that?
Yeah. Wait, maybe he didn't shoot the kid. Maybe he wanted to, and like the kid had picked something up.
Wanted to?
No, he had to shoot the kid. I feel like if I had to, it would be a pretty rough decision. Mr. Dose, do you think you could kill a child?
I would never want to do that now.
Mm. What if the kid was picking up a AK-47 and you were whispering to yourself, don't pick it up.
Is that what happened in the movie?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's.
I remember that. Exactly. Oh my gosh!
Don't pick it up.
Yeah, he's like, "Don't pick it up. Don't pick it up." And yeah, but so, did they kill him? I forgot.
No. She puts it down and runs away, and he goes. Okay.
I think what the real question is like, how do you think that the work that you do on Daily Dose of Internet would give you the knowledge and sort of experience to be able to make decisions like that in a war zone?
Maybe from a business aspect, but I don't know what kind of business goes
into. Okay, so break down the business aspects of whether or not you should shoot a kid as he's about to pick up an AK-47. I'd like to.
Is that good for our brand?
It probably wouldn't be.
Okay, then that's an easy decision.
It would not.
That'd be tough.
You're just in the sniper's ear.
It'd be a
consider
pure
the
nightmare.
PR ramifications. Yeah.
So I'd probably be the PR guy there. I'm like, hey guys, we just shot a kid. How are we supposed to twist this into a way that's heroic?
Yeah, it's like Overlord on in like Call of Duty, and but instead of Overlord, it's the PR or the HR department.
Well, I want to circle back because you did mention about getting focus in with ADD or ADHD. I can't relate to that, but I do have something that helps me get focused in. And that is a 20-hour recording of just the audio of the Death Star ambient noise that when they show it in Star Wars. You know how they show the image of the Death Star and it's just like a low rumbling?
Dude, I'm watching Tucker like it's typing away right now. He's like, I gotta find this right now.
It's just a very deep, bassy rumbling. And I put that on when I need to focus.
Isn't that called brown noise?
It's brown noise, but like maybe black noise because it's space. You know?
Void noise?
It's deeper. It's more rumbly and bassy than what brown noise.
It's so funny. Me. What defines what color we give the noise? Like, it's like somebody just decided, no, this is brown noise. Right? Tucker, we got any info on this?
I think it's a frequency at which it's at.
Oh.
So, like, the bassier, the lower it is. Yeah. Oh, that's why, like, this is brown noise because it's stripped of the high frequencies.
Oh, are they lining up the frequency with, like, a frequency in light and just deciding what that color is? They line it up with the spectrum?
That could be it.
Is there an audio spectrum that lines up with light? I don't know how that works.
I don't know.
I bet white noise was a thing, and then from there they're just like, well, we'll just make it darker when it's low.
Yeah, true. But from a cursory glance, this podcast is definitely white noise.
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a video like that, Mr. Dose? Do you have like a thing you go to every now and then that you just put on in the background and get work done to? Or are you just kind of, you just raw dog it?
What a way to describe
that, raw dogging it?
Yeah, I just work.
Yeah.
But I love white noise.
There's no GB ASMR playing in the back? No JoJo ASMR?
No, because I got to listen to the clips. I have to listen to everything, so it's unfortunate.
That's true. That is true.
I've been doing a lot of work recently on a script, and I was like, actually, I used to do it when I was younger in high school. A mutual friend that Tucker and I had years ago, he introduced me to his method of studying, which was to put on like war music. I'm talking about Nico right now, Tucker. Like, he would put on war, like,
what the fuck is war music?
As in, like, epic, like, in like, we're the Romans and we're charging down and fighting in a battle, like that kind of like intense, like,
dun, 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 swelling, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. Two Steps from Hell. Have you ever heard?
Yeah,
like medieval epic music and stuff like that. That kind
Ride of
like,
the Valkyries.
That could be
crazy.
It could be. I mean, no, there's like kind of, the kind of stuff that
Look
someone would play.
Templars
in the
marching.
Sorry,
like Templars marching. If you've ever come across like that 10-hour on YouTube.
No, I get other 10 hours. I don't think I've ever gotten Templars marching 10 hours. That seems like a really niche one.
But what I ended up listening to the other day was this one on, it's called Binaural Beats for ADHD. And I also don't know what the scientific like effectiveness of this or what the fuck it even means. But then it says dash gamma waves. And then the description of it is, when your brain produces high levels of gamma waves, you tend to be happier and more receptive. And I'm like, I don't know when I'm producing gamma waves or what the fuck that even means. Like,
yeah,
I don't know if you could put like an X-ray on me and all of a sudden you see like fucking shit coming out of my head or something, but
is it kind of helps. Producing radiation at all times?
I feel like sometimes I'm producing radiation. Yeah. You know? I feel like I've got some pretty good ideas where it's like, oh shit, that's a nuclear.
Nuclear.
Yeah.
That's a nuclear good idea.
Okay.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
Ted just said something interesting there that we had a long discussion about. He said nuclear. And I think we can all agree that the word is nuclear.
Nuclear.
You didn't just say that, right?
Nuclear?
Nuclear.
Nuclear.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, wait, this
no, no, just sounds
joking,
better.
Right? This
is
the best thing that could have
Daily
happened.
Dose
I didn't
of
even
internet
say
did
anything.
Not just say, you Dude, did not
he's
just
on my
say
side.
Nuclear.
It sounds better, but is it spelled that way? Like
spell it.
Well, just, how do you normally say it? Just say like a nuclear power plant.
Yeah, this guy has a nuclear power plant.
No, 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 nuclear. Dude. No, nuclear, nuclear. N-U-C-L-E-A-R.
You want to talk nuclear. About it? You want to talk about
no,
fucking
that, that's
nuclear
not what that
slash splitting like the atoms right now,
that's
dude.
That's not what that spells.
How's it spelled? Let's see.
Play. I just spelled it.
Yeah. N-U-C-U-L-A-R. Nuclear.
No. No. You're fucking with me. You must be on an Android right now.
It says.
You seem a little confused, Flat. It seems that I've been right all along because Daily Dose of Internet, who gets more views than you, is telling me
I'm looking
that
at a different type
way.
Of nuclear. I spelled nuclear wrong, but actually it's a different type of nuclear. So this definition of nuclear, N-U-C-U-L-A-R, It's a section of a compound of a usually hard fruit.
Okay. So you're wrong, is what you're saying.
So I'm right about...
You're right.
A different type of thing, though.
That's a really roundup. That's like a politician answer to admitting fault there.
He's ruthless, dude. This is so how you, we got you think this far.
Nuclear. You want me to say nuclear?
I would prefer. Well, I just would like everyone to say words correctly.
I don't.
Nuclear.
Okay. Nuclear.
Nuclear.
You know what's a nuclear. Word?
Can you
what's
can
a word
stop slat washing our guests, please?
Nuclear.
You know, there's an entire Wikipedia page to people pronouncing it nuclear and how it's wrong, and notable people in history who have pronounced it this way.
Really?
Add Daily Dose and Ted Nevison to the list.
How many followers does it have, like, or subscribers to the Reddit?
What are you talking about? He said a Wikipedia page.
It's a Wikipedia.
Oh, I thought, I don't know what just happened to me. I'm sorry. Hold on. Let me go into my brain right now. What just happened? Okay.
It's the gamma waves, bro. They're sending some subliminal shit to you.
You said Wikipedia page. For some reason, my mind immediately went to a r/ like nuclear, like Reddit that existed that where people would post like people saying it wrong, like they do on like mildly interesting or mildly infuriating or something like that.
Mm. Well, you know what's a word that I say wrong all the time, and people will call me out in the comments when I say it, is comfortable.
Wait, say it again?
Comfortable. Comfortable? I say comfortable. And people are like, where's the T? I'm like, oh, Mike, you caught me.
So it's just like an act of defiance now? You just
comfortable.
Fuck it, I'm saying comfortable again.
Yeah, but like I do it all the time. Like I won't be thinking of it. I'll just say comfortable without the T.
I feel like that's a leftover from when you were like 2.
Yeah, probably.
You know, like a little kid walking around, like, I'm feeling real comfortable today. And like that's the one thing that your brain didn't adjust. Honestly, it's, you know, I get it, though. It rolls off the tongue, kind of like nuclear.
I just think you don't need tea in there. You comfortable. Don't. Comfortable. Comfortable.
No, I get
No. I don't get
I'm
this.
Convinced. You're not?
No.
You don't like comfortable?
Say words correctly.
Listen, man, everybody knows that, like, if you say a word a certain way enough, it ends up being a word, right? So let's say I just start saying nuclear that way, and then I just spell it differently, too, to match the way that I say it. Then eventually, Merriam-Webster is going to say, this guy's got me by the balls. Time to switch things up.
That's fair. But I don't want to talk about this anymore, so let's segue to another part. Fellas, getting engaged is a special time for many. The only thing that's not so special is buying an engagement ring when you have no idea what you're doing. Look at you little idiot. You got no idea what you're doing. Lucky for us, that's where BlueNile.com comes in. BlueNile.com is the original online jeweler and has been helping couples create the perfect ring since 1999. A very, very familiar date for me. Now look, imagine spending all this money on an engagement ring only to find out there was a better deal after the fact. With Blue Nile, you don't need to worry because they offer a diamond price guarantee, which means they can usually meet or beat a competitor's price on a similar diamond. With Blue Nile, you can create bigger, more brilliant pieces at a price you won't find at a traditional jeweler. And they're committed to ensuring the highest ethical standards are observed when sourcing their diamonds and jewelry. Blue Nile also guarantees service and repair for life, as well as 100% satisfaction guarantee with free shipping and returns. If you're looking for the perfect engagement ring, I recommend you check out BlueNile.com. Right now, you can get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's $50 off with code CHUCKLE at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, I'm Rory.
And I'm Maul.
And we're the hosts of the new Rory and Maul podcast.
That's right.
I know you're probably listening to a podcast that you actually like right now, and we just interrupted it with an ad.
That's all right, we're here.
And I appreciate if you didn't hit the 15-second skip button.
Listen to our show where we cover topics like music, movies,
yes,
TV shows, which we love to binge watch.
Of course, just lifestyle stuff.
And give off crazy stories about our day-to-day lives.
Yeah.
Check us out on the new Rory Maul podcast. Listen to wherever you get your podcast, and let us know how you're feeling about our show.
And once you're done listening to this podcast that you actually like, maybe you could check us out.
Well, Mr. Dose, you get 300 million views.
I don't know that many people
on your YouTube. I don't either. That's a lot. That's like a sizable percentage of
these are
people
all
on
strangers
Earth.
On the internet. I've never met them.
They're
before.
All strangers. Did you ever think that you can You can control the way a lot of these people think very easily.
Control them.
I have thought about this, and I'm like, I'd rather just keep doing what I'm doing.
Have you ever thought about
like a little? You could flash a little McDonald's logo,
like a little subconscious, like just single frames.
Yeah, I know. I've had sponsors reach out to me and stuff. I've never accepted sponsorship money ever. So.
Now, before we continue on with this episode, Chucklers, we got to talk about the sponsor of this episode, which is our friends at Bespoke Post. Bespoke Post is a monthly membership club delivering top shelf goods from under the radar brands, and it's free to join. Each box of awesome has around $70 in value, but you only pay a fraction of the price and only for what you want. Each month, you'll have a box assigned to you based on a personalized quiz that you take when you're signing up, and before shipping, you'll get a preview. You get to look at it. You can decide if you want to keep it, swap it, or just refund the month entirely for absolutely no charge. Plus, 90% of the products in Bespoke Post boxes are from small brands, many of which are based right here in the US of A, baby. One of the things I got from Bespoke Post was this cocktail book, which is a field guide to whiskey. I'm gonna know more about whiskey now than Schlatt knows math. It came with some glasses. It also came with an old-fashioned mixer and some jumbo ice ball makers, so you can make that jumbo ice ball. They also sent me a separate box that's got these nice little colognes in them. This cologne is bergamot, pepper, and rosemary. I'm feeling sexier already. To get 20% off your first box of awesome, click the link in the description and enter code CHUCKLE20 at checkout or go to bespokepost.com/chuckle20. Once again, that's code CHUCKLE20 or go to bespokepost.com/chuckle20. Now let's get back to the episode.
Have you ever thought about just spreading just straight up misinformation for your own gain?
No, I don't think that'd be really, really good for my brand.
Mm. But like stuff that
PR.
But like stuff that like people couldn't disprove. You know, like I don't know, like put a video of Schlatt on the screen just for like 10 seconds and just be like, this YouTuber Schlatt is known to sniff his own farts.
You could, but I have lied a few times. I've said like, oh, this is my video. I found it, and I didn't, but I kind of did. But it's kind of like a gray area. I didn't really find it, but I kind of did. Like someone filmed it for me, but I told them to film it. So like that. So I'm just like, I did this.
Interesting. So. How did you get into like posting these clips on the internet in the first place? Like, because there are a lot on YouTube of these sort of compilation channels. You got like TikTok sort of compilation channels, and it's usually like one video on this, you know, 2,000 subscriber channel will get 30 million views or something, and that's like, you know, maybe they'll make some money off of it. But you've sort of turned compilation making of stuff into sort of like almost like a show in a way.
So I first started Daily Dose of Internet in 2015. And I actually made a YouTube video about this on one of my backup, I think my Daily Dose of Gaming channel that I rarely use. And I showed the trajectory of how my channel started and where it went and everything. Mm-hmm. So basically, for the first 2 years, I started in 2015. I actually gave up after posting about 30 videos. And I just quit
That's
for a year.
That's an important step in the process is what
it's,
we're...
It's giving up.
Yeah.
But I straight up gave up for a year. And so from like 2015 to 2016-ish, somewhere around there, I just stopped. I didn't upload for like 11 months.
You've been active for a while.
Yeah. Because I'm like, I tried it, whatever, didn't work. I gave up. And then here's what happened. One of my YouTube videos just exploded. It got 2 million views in like, I don't know, a month or something. It was ridiculous. And it was the voice actor of SpongeBob swearing. So it's like, who doesn't want to click on that?
Tom Kenny?
Yeah, wow. it was Tom Kenny swearing
and
some sort
of something like that.
Yeah, so that took off, and then I just rode that wave ever since, and I haven't stopped ever since. But I actually my YouTube channel almost got deleted in 2018, because I was when I first started doing these videos, I was actually just straight up just stealing videos. I was just nabbing them here and there, and I would just upload them because I wasn't expecting anything big. Well, it got big, and that's when you have to start acting like an adult and actually ask for permission and buy the videos and those sort of things. So I would just straight up steal videos. Well, in 2018, all my older videos came back to haunt me, and I got 2 strikes within the span of like a week. I was like, oh my God. So what I did is I just privatized all my old videos. I was just like, boom. So that's probably like 2 billion views gone just forever.
Oh, wow.
From my channel.
I mean, jeez. The survival survival of what you needed to do there, you know?
So yes.
Can I just ask for clarification on something here? So for how many years now have you been, so your, what is your sort of your licensing? So you have a licensing process now for these videos of that you show on your thing. And is every video that you show on Daily Dose of Internet, like something that you reached out, got permission for, and then?
I'd say it's about 50-50. Okay. So I reach out to people, ask for permission, and sometimes they'll want cash. Sometimes they just care about credit. It just, whatever they want, I will give it to them. It just depends on how good the video is. And so I'll reach out on my own. I also have two or three video researchers that will go out and find content for me, and then they'll just send it to me, and I will do the reaching out. And then I also have, I'm with a network, and they own a massive video library, so I just grab videos from there. And I also license videos. So like the typical, if you see a, so the next time you watch my YouTube videos, look in the bottom right corner or bottom left corner, you'll see Viral Hog, you'll see Jukin Media, you'll see Storyful, all these licensing companies. So to put that in perspective, if you see Viral Hog, that means I spent $200 on that video. If you see Jukin Media, that means I spent $300 on that video. If you see Storyful, that means I spent $500 on that video. Wow. So it just depends. But what I care about more than anything is quality. So the I don't mind paying the heavy price as long as it's a good video.
Well, I mean, it's definitely different than what most people do when it comes to compilation pages. Because, you know, not a lot of people on the internet or who make compilation-based stuff are necessarily interested in the licensing portion of the process.
No one wants to pay $200 for a 20-second clip. But I do. I will do it.
Yeah. And I mean, in many ways, I assume the ends justify the means as well, because in your case, because your channel does incredibly well. And I also think that it's an interesting sort of aspect too, because from, I saw recently on your Twitter, you mentioned Storyful. You just recently made a deal with them.
No, here's the thing. You guys don't understand. Storyful is huge. Storyful is actually owned by Rupert Murdoch and Fox News.
Right.
And so Fox News gets their videos directly from Storyful, but so does CNN, and so does all the biggest news corporations in the world get all their, almost all their good, like viral or just
viral content.
Yeah, sort of internet content.
License
from
their stuff.
Storyful.
Yeah.
And so Storyful is just a company that scours every corner of the internet to find stuff and then resells it, basically.
Yeah, yeah. So Storyful is, I believe they are a, a child company. I don't know what a subsidiary.
Subsidiary? Yeah.
Yeah, subsidiary of I forgot what it is. It's a part of the Rupert Murdoch Corporation or something.
Gotcha.
News Corp.
Yeah, News Corp, whatever it is. So yes, I did not know that at first. I thought they were just an independent company, but they are not. But yeah, their content is superb. Like if you see some insane video on the news that's going viral, like I can get that now. And that's why it's such a huge deal. So now I have access.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to talk about, because it just seemed like you were talking, when I was reading that your tweet about it, it just seemed like sort of a, in terms of like a company's recognition of a work that at least a individual on YouTube is doing, it seemed like sort of a significant thing. Mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure I'm the only YouTuber that has a contract with them, because every single person that they work at, I'd say about 90% of their business is CNN, Fox News, HLN, all the big news corporations.
Or like the Dodo or something like that.
No.
Remember the Dodo?
That's like for funny animals who get hurt. Like, but
now
like,
this?
Now this, maybe. But yeah, it's Mace. If they do news stuff, there's a very good chance they work with them. But yeah, 90% of their money comes from CNN, Fox News, because, like I have like a budget every month, and I give them my budget, and then, like for Storyful, I go, I'm giving you guys $3,000 a month, and you guys, I want you guys to help me find good videos. They're like, okay, but for these news corporations, it's massive. They don't have a limit. Like they just have, they pay a lump sum up front. They go, boom, give us access to your full video library. And they're like, okay, that's enough money. You can get whatever you want.
Right. Oh. So these guys, they give you, after you send them your budget, or you say, here's what I'm looking for, do they give you almost like a menu that you can pick and choose from?
Yeah, so...
And you go, I want the I want the cat fighting the bird, please.
It's more like, I tell them what I'm looking for. I'm like, can you guys send me a list of like your top most popular videos of 2021, 2022, and the past month? Like, whatever I'm looking for, they will give it to me, because that's what I'm paying them to do.
Gotcha. Right. Wow. So they sort of, in some ways, there is a bit of market research done within your relationship with Storyful as well, in terms of like, oh, here's are the clips that are like, they're popping, which makes it maybe a little bit easier to throw something together there.
A lot of people don't know this, but I'd say about 95% of all viral videos that you see on the internet are owned by a media company.
Really?
Yeah. Or partnered with a media company. It's
are
just,
you
it's,
sure you should be saying this on a podcast?
It's not secret
stuff. Someone's going to find you. I just don't want someone knocking on your door.
No, okay? I'll be fine. But it's just, and the reason why that is, so here's what happens. So let's say Schlatt here uploads a cute cat video and it goes super, or even better, like he's on an airplane and the engine gives out and it's like on fire and everything. Perfect. The cat's on fire. Let's say you're on an airplane, the engine's on fire, and you record
Schlatt's holding the cat. Yeah.
And you post that video of the plane wing on fire on Twitter. What's going to happen is you're going to have Storyful. All these huge media companies are going to reach out to you and go, "Hi, sir, we really like this video. Do you want like $200? And we'll just manage your video." And most people are like, "Yeah, that's awesome. $200 up front, and I can make more money on top of that." They're totally done. So basically, every time, so your video that you recorded will go up into a library. And every time a corporation buys that video, you will forever get a portion of that sale.
Wow.
Okay. I thought it was just a flat rate. I thought these services were fucking everybody over, to be honest.
No. It just depends. So usually the base rate is 50-50. A lot of companies don't offer money up front unless it's a really good video, like super newsworthy video. If it's just like a standard viral video, they're like, "Hey, you want a 50-50 deal? Every time we sell the video, we will
give you 5% of them."
No, it's like 50%. 30 to 50%, somewhere in there.
And how much? So it's around $200-$300 for most uses.
Yeah, I'd say the average licensing company charges about $200-$300.
Huh. So what's the most expensive video that you ever have used on your channel?
It was a $550 video I bought. It was a video of a bat eating a banana.
Oh, that I remember that video.
And it was worth it because it got like 10, 12 million views.
Fuck. Wow. Yeah, that's a good deal right there.
I saw that. I'm like, that is going to be an amazing thumbnail. That is hilarious. The bat's like whole head is somehow around this banana.
That's crazy. So
and I'm like,
that's
awesome. Yeah, I'm like, I have to get this. And I bought that from Storyful before I had a deal with them. They charge a lot more per video if you don't have a deal with them.
Interesting. So, Mr. Daly, I have a question. How did you end up getting, like, because you, at this point in your YouTube channel's life, even though it is a channel that is, it is clips that you have found across the internet, you still kind of have, like, a bit of a brand as well, in the way that you sort of introduce, like, each topic and the way just the content is presented. So, like, how did you get to that point where you felt like, oh, this is, like, what was like your thought process behind that, of like getting to that specific style of the way that you do your little doses?
It's because I kept getting in trouble with YouTube. And so like my early on videos, I kept getting age restrictions and all these sorts of demonetizations and all these things. And I couldn't figure out why. I was like, oh, got it. They want G-rated stuff. They want PG at the most. Uh-huh. Like my early videos were wild, and that's why a lot of my early subscribers were like, "You changed, Daly." I'm like, "Yeah, I did. I'm sorry." Because like my old videos were crazy. Like I'd have people jump through flaming tables and stuff. It was wild.
It's kind of like what dude, I don't know about you guys, but I am getting recommended fight videos like every day on Twitter. And I think it's because I watched a couple of them at one point, seeing someone like fight someone else in like the Walmart or something like that. And now every day Twitter will send me, it will show me in the sort of suggested thing, just videos of people wailing on each other. And I don't really, like, I've tried to say I'm not interested in this anymore, and it keeps coming back. And this actually got bad, because I think this is one of the disadvantages of Twitter's, like, change in management. One of the videos, I thought it was just going to be a fight, and I watched it. And this is kind of, you know, trigger warning for those of you who are listening right now. I accidentally, on Twitter, like a week ago, saw a video of someone getting shot.
Yeah, in St. Louis, in broad daylight.
Yeah, like the guy who shot the couple.
Oh, no.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Different video.
No, it was two.
I saw a video of a dude getting shot recently, too.
It was two neighbors that were having, like, it was this older couple having an argument with this neighbor. The guy comes out and he fucking shoots them both and he finishes them off. It was, like, awful. It was like,
wow.
It was literally like, but it's one of those things, too, where it's like, I want to know if they, like, look like they were going to live. Because I didn't want them to die, so you kind of keep watching, and then because it's like, it was bad, it wasn't good.
They probably didn't live. But now that you mention it, dude, I've seen probably three videos of people getting shot to death on Twitter this week.
Yeah, it's bad. It's like actually yesterday I saw a video of a guy getting hit by a car. Like
that's wild. That shouldn't. That never happened. I don't remember seeing people die like that on Twitter before.
Me neither. Yeah, that was something. That was something that was you had to go looking for that kind of shit back in the day. You know, what's your take on that, Daily?
Well, doesn't Twitter not allow those type of videos?
Oh, they used to.
Yeah, I know they used to, but like they supposedly don't anymore. But they still get out there.
It's, I mean, there are like sort of like these accounts are like, I don't know, like fucking daily dose of fucking people getting shot or no, just kidding. Like fucking daily fights or like,
yes,
craziest fucking explode, like people in the world or something like that. Like there are accounts that are like dedicated to fights. And then I guess in the mix, they just post people getting fucking murdered on CCTV, and it's like really awful to see. But
I have seen a rise in fight videos on my Twitter feed. I don't know why. That kind of came out of nowhere. I have not seen murder videos yet, but I have seen a lot of fight feeds, and I've seen a lot of celebrity stuff too. Like, oh my gosh, look at this celebrity and what they did, like movie star celebrities. So what has been pushed. Those two categories have been pushed hard on my Twitter feed for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's because of the they have like a For You page now on Twitter that is is kind of doing it. It's interesting. I think I would like it if I wasn't being shown people getting shot, but
I generally like the timeline a little more in For You mode, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I love For You mode, dude. I think it's the best thing Twitter's ever done.
Really?
Yeah, because I can like tune in so I can see all my people. So I basically strictly use Twitter as a thing for business and just interacting with people and networking and that sort of thing and staying in contact. But then I can just do one tab over For You and it's like, oh, that's for me. It's like my own.
Gotcha, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely find for the purposes that I usually use Twitter, like I like to keep up with what people are saying recently. So the following works. And so pretty much, yeah, exactly what you're saying is like the, you know, hop over the For You. But I realized that I totally took us away from what I was originally asking about, which was your progression through finding your like the style of how you make your videos. And it was because YouTube wanted you to do more like PG based stuff.
Yeah, I was always kind of PG, because the reason why is because I was like, I don't want my grandma watching this and being disappointed in me. Mm-hmm.
What would she say if she was disappointed in you with that? What would that sound like?
She'd be like, you need to go to church more.
It's probably true.
Yeah, she's probably right.
How would you describe the scene if you were to had, if the video of your grandma saying that you needed to go to church more was in a Daily Dose video, how would you introduce that scene to your audience?
I'd be like, hey, everyone, so my grandma got really upset with me, and I want to show a clip of her being disappointed in me.
Oh, man. When did that voice start? Was that right from the very beginning?
Yeah, except before, my microphone was really low, and so my earliest videos, I am screaming. I'm basically, like, screaming. So, like, hey, guys, so here's the situation. And so, like, when I go back to my older videos, I cringe. I'm like, oh, God, it's why was I yelling? And
yeah, you definitely did settle into that calmer voice. I think it's definitely preferable.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, people are learning and stuff, and so everyone has their awkward moments when they're just starting out. I'm sure you have a bunch of older videos of you when you,
oh,
you know,
man.
Cringing.
Dude. Mm. I was always impressed with some of the, you know, the Minecraft children of today, because like Tommy, those guys, because they were like sick. They were 16, 17, and some of the stuff that the presence that those guys have on camera and just in general, and like the maturity level that they're at that age, just seemed miles ahead of where I was. Like I was doing YouTube videos for my parents used to make me keep my computer in the basement, and I wasn't allowed to have it in my room, so I had to do all my YouTube videos and stuff from our basement. There's a video of me saying thanks for 1,000 subscribers, and I don't know. How old was I at the time, Tucker? I mean, I must have been like
10 years old.
Like 14.
14 or something like that. Tucker has a comment on that video from when I posted it. It's like skinny me, like half a Nick. And like, hey guys, what's going on? It's Dead Air.
It's Jibberdy.
It's Jibberdy here. I guess I'm here to just say... thanks for 1,000 subscribers. Like, it's just so just socially awkward and just no ability to like be on camera. And it's it's wild how like when you look back, it's like an active existing sort of reflection of how less you knew when you were younger, that most people are like, oh man, back then when I was a kid, I was like, but as a YouTuber, it's like, you've got evidence. You've got evidence that exists as unlisted videos.
those Minecraft kids, they grew up real quick with their content. And you know what? I have a running theory, and it's because we didn't really, none of us grew up with that constant like YouTuber personas through our childhood. Like we just had traditional media. And maybe we got used to it when we were just reaching our teenage years. But this new wave of kids, they're able to emulate it so well at such a young age and like fit right into that mold, because from the very fucking beginning, their entire content diet was just, hey, everybody, it's me, Schlatt, and we're back playing more Minecraft. Like they just get it. I could never do that shit when I was 15, 16. You kidding me?
No. Now that you mention that, that's a really, really nuanced point right there, Schlatt. And I have to applaud you for that. I think that you that is a very, very smart way to look at it, because specifically for like people of our age, Schlatt, and like older Gen Z is like, you know, I was born in 1998. I was, by the time YouTube was first invented, I was already 8. So I'd already, you know, I've already watched all my Dragon Tales and all my Arthur.
Yeah. And the culture wasn't there.
And
yet.
If you think about it this way, here's a prescient point right here. I probably used prescient wrong. It's definitely that way, Schlatt, because my first word ever spoken was Arthur.
What?
Because I watched the PBS show Arthur when I was like a newborn kid.
Yeah. Bro came out of the wall.
It was like Arthur, kind of like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Imagine Arthur.
Oh, can you imagine? Yeah, dude, me being able to pronounce the TH sound just right out of the womb is insane.
You know, for the longest time on that show, I thought DW, you remember DW, Arthur's
sister? Oh, yeah.
I thought it's just like And I was like, does that mean dumb weasel? Like, I thought that's what it meant for quite the longest time.
Dumb like,
who names their kid dumb weasel?
That's awesome. Honestly, DW, like, if you look back at those clips, she was a fucking savage. Dude, she was going, she did not give an absolute shit about anything. But dumb weasel.
Yeah, it just made sense to me. I was like, okay, they're I don't know what animal they are. I think they're a weasel. And so she's got to be the dumb weasel. I mean,
yeah, they are. They were. They didn't. They did not look like aardvarks at all.
Yeah, I'm going down.
Oh. Her name's actually Dora Winifred.
Dora Winifred.
Is that her name? Dora Winifred.
Yeah, there's your lore drop of the day.
Wow, thank you for that.
Jeez, holy crap.
Are you guys both in Texas?
No, I'm in. Don't laugh at that. You're a dick. I'm in Los Angeles. Schlatt is in Texas.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I see you at the Streamer Awards, Ted.
Sorry?
Well, I see you at the Streamer Awards, Ted.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Cool. Well,
I'll see you there. I'll see you in a fucking week, man.
That's amazing.
I remember seeing your tweets, dude, last Streamer Awards. It looked so fun.
It was so much fun, and it's a shame you're not coming, because
it is a shame.
Cutie got so excited, because I said, oh my God, I got Schlatt to come. And she's like, you are amazing. I'm like, I know.
Hey, Schlatt, consider it.
Well, we had that deal where if I went to the Streamer Awards, I'd get a video in Daily Dose.
Yeah.
But like, you've only paid $550 for a video before. I could easily afford that many times over. Can I just pay you for a lot of money to get a video on Daily Dose? What's your price?
It just depends on what the video is. Yeah, just literally, it just depends on what the video. As long as it's age appropriate and it kind of goes with the flow of the video.
Should we do a business deal right now on Chuckle Sandwich right now? Because Tucker and I can moderate.
Yeah, we can try this. So what exactly kind of video are you probably like a meme video, right? A very meme video.
Oh, Schlatt's drinking his water from his anime cup. He's getting ready to make some business deals.
I'd have to think about it, man. I've got some very funny videos. I really need Tim the Tap Man to see this video.
Okay, so Schlatt brings up a specific goal that he needs.
Yes. It's a video of a guy who's been basically drinking a beer very quickly every day for a year, trying to get Tim the Tap Man to do it. And he just won't do it. And I've tweeted it at him so many times.
Okay, well.
And so Tim the Tap Man watches Daily Dose.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he does. It would be
like his streams. I assume. I thought you were trying to like sneak in this video so that when Tim the Tap Man watches a Daily Dose video on his stream, he won't be able to avoid it.
And then Tim the Tap Man needs to do this right now, and it's just a guy with a bottle of beer. You're just like,
yeah,
and then he swishes it around, and it just goes down real quick.
Oh, it's like he drinks the beer like it's a like he's given a blowjob to it?
Yeah.
Maybe. You don't think that would be appropriate?
Yeah, it'd probably get me demonetized, unfortunately. shit. But what I could do, the compromise, is post that on possibly Instagram.
Okay.
Because my Instagram is wild. People don't know this. My Instagram is very ratchet. And the reason
it's ratchet.
Why...
Okay, that's an interesting way to describe it.
The reason why, here's the thing. Is because Instagram is like the Wild West. Instagram is like TikTok. They do not care. No one really monetizes anything. YouTube is very monitors. YouTube doesn't really. YouTube monitors everything. On Instagram, no. Like you can find like people like flashing their guns and stuff. It's crazy. But
I never thought I'd
Daily Dose is posting war footage on his fucking Instagram right now.
Scroll through my Instagram. It is very ratchet. And people are like, I love the comments because people are like, wow, your Instagram is way different than your. I'm like, yeah, because that's content that I enjoy.
Wow.
What's your favorite video you've ever found? Not, you know, because you've got your, and I mean this in the sense of like, you know, there can be different types of favorites for a YouTuber. One of them could be, you know, oh, this is my favorite because I know this is going to fucking go viral. Or this is my favorite because I personally like this one the best.
Dude, there was it's a very recent video of mine. It's not a title video, but it was a video that was on the National Geographic channel. What? And I have been trying to get this video for years. I've been contacting this man for years, and he's ghosted me a few times. He's
the Golden Goose.
Yeah, he's responded to me a few times, and like, no, no, thank you. He wanted like $100 per second. I'm like, okay, no, thank you. So we eventually.
How long was it?
How long ago did I post it?
Well, how long was the video? If you know, because he was asking for $100 a second.
I wanted about 25 seconds worth.
Oh wow. Yeah. Okay, that's expensive.
Yeah. And so I finally got it about 2 weeks ago. We finally struck a deal, like $350. For some reason, he thought that was a good number. I don't know why it would change, but it's just a video of cell division in real time at a microscopic level with like no like mic. It doesn't look like 2D. It's a full 3D view of a cell being divided. And that's the most mind-blowing video I've ever seen in my life.
Really cool.
It was posted on the National Geographic channel. It got like 20 million views there. I'm like, that's amazing. I want it on my channel. Not too many people talked about it, but I'm like, that's a cool video. And I got it.
That's cool.
Nice. My video wouldn't be anything like that. It would be like if you needed a PG or G video. I like monkey videos a lot.
I like monkey videos.
Did you get the one of the gorilla eating the apple? And then someone farts, and then he just kind of looks over.
Dude, I'm trying to get that one so badly.
I got a bunch. I could send you a bunch, dude. There's a monkey who is in a cage, and a guy comes up to him with the phone, and he like gives him a banana, but then he like yanks it away a little bit.
I post that monkey on my Instagram all the time. I love that monkey.
Yeah, you know that it sounds like that. You know, how about this? Because I'm seeing an opportunity for a deal here, and Tucker can, you know, you can tell me if I'm wrong on this, but I'm thinking that there's a potential deal here. Mm. You post daily, you post this video of the guy giving a creamy good time to a beer, and then Schlatt will be your monkey correspondent. Mm.
Oh, my TikTok feed is entirely monkey videos. I mean, it would be great.
Monkeys do really well. It's virality right there.
You'd have a drip, constant drip feed of the best monkey content out there.
I don't mind posting monkey stuff.
I know. I get a lot of gibbons.
You can barely even get it out.
We have to work. Schlatt, I want you at the Stream Rewards. I want a selfie with you while I'm wearing a tuxedo. I want a selfie with you, and you have to be there. And everyone's going to love you. If you're there, you're going to be the star of the show.
Dude, I just got so much going on right now. I just got so much. Look, I mean,
there's a suit supply in Century City, Schlatt, if you need a new one.
I'm going to be in L.A. later in the month and then back again very soon after that. Like,
that's true.
It's just so much. And I hate flying. And the last two flight stories I've heard have been nightmares.
Okay, well, worst case scenario. I will be in L.A. for a week, so maybe you could see me in L.A. Before I leave.
Well, are you coming to Austin anytime soon?
I am actually going to. Yeah, my plan is to go to Texas for a week in April. I'm going to see all those OTK people. I'm going to see a lot of people. So, right. And I was planning on seeing you. So
this is like the grand Daily Dose tour that you're going on.
I know.
Daily Dose of America.
That's what I wanted to do. I'm like, I want to jump on a plane once a month and go visit some YouTube or streamer people.
So you're sort of a, could I say that you have a sense of wanderlust?
Wanderlust? Yeah. So you guys don't know, but like growing up, I wasn't very popular. I didn't have very many friends. No one wanted to hang out with me. All of us were that way,
dude. Don't worry.
But here's the thing. When I was doing my YouTube, like, even throughout my YouTube, YouTubers don't hang out with each other. They just do their own thing, okay? But streamers do. Streamers hang out with each other because they have to. It's just networking. It's just whatever. But I love it. I'm like, so I have no real incentive to hang out with streamers other than just, like, make friends. And it's so much fun. I love making friends. And so I'm addicted to meeting
people. You're such a wholesome guy. Can we just talk about that? Because you have such a wholesome little heart.
Dude, I just want to make friends. And so it's so much fun, like, looking at my phone and seeing all these notifications. I get addicted to that. But it's also, like, I'm a little selfish for being addicted to that, I guess. But, like, I love making new friends, meeting new people, and sharing ideas.
I mean, it makes sense, like, if you were, like, someone who grew up not necessarily having like a huge like friend group necessarily, that like when you're later on and it's, you're connected to all these people and these, all these are people that you find interesting or you think are cool or funny or whatever, it's like, and they want to be friends back with you. I mean, that's an inciting thing, especially like, I mean, that makes fucking perfect sense to me.
No, I'm like, you guys don't understand. So I've said this a few times on a few podcasts, but I used to be one of the weird kids in high school. Like, I would sit at the weird kid table. It would be
okay. Let's describe the weird kid table, man. Give me their various types.
It was, I think it was me and three other people.
Okay.
It was me, who didn't really talk. I just had a PB&J every day. A heroin addict who taught us that how to inject heroin, and he said that you need to inject it in your toes because that way nobody knows. Okay. It's a rhyme.
Right. Yeah. No, that's easy to remember.
It was, the other person was, I don't know, some Asian girl, and she couldn't speak English. She didn't talk to us. And the other one was some chubby kid, and he would show us how he could produce milk from his nipples.
Hmm.
So that was my three friends in high school. Okay. So I went from that to this. It's amazing.
Dude, you could make like, that sounds like, you can make a show out of that. I feel like, the misadventures of those four kids going around and like, I feel like you guys all had your own like little powers. Yeah, like one guy had the power of heroin. Another could shoot milk.
Yeah,
the power of your mind.
Each one of those kids could have been a clip on Daily Dose of Internet.
I don't think so. I don't think that any of that's rated G rated. Heroin, milk nipples, and
that was in high school.
High school.
Heroin.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
He would also. I hope he's not in prison or anything, or if he's still alive. I don't know. But yeah, he also would deal ecstasy in the locker room and stuff. I'm like, I'm good, dude.
Wow.
Where's he getting all this stuff? Is he growing it?
Is he making it? I don't know.
How does a high schooler get involved in the drug trade like that? What do you have to do to...
Tucker, would you look up how as a high schooler one could get involved in the drug trade?
Yeah, with no VPN or anything. Just Google, no incognito. Just Google that.
Yeah, because this was like 2011-ish. So this was like before like modern internet. I mean, yeah, internet was around. Google was around, but not the way it is today. You know, VPNs and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I would say in 2011, PewDiePie was about 11 million subscribers.
Yeah.
No, he started in 2012 or 2011.
Am I going crazy?
He took off and no, he was definitely big. I remember exactly because I was one of PewDiePie's first subscribers.
He started in 2011. Maybe that's what I'm thinking.
He in 2010 had 40,000 subscribers, and I was one of them.
Really?
No.
I don't know where I got that number from.
Take it back. No, 2011. 2011 is when he had 40,000 subscribers.
Really?
I was one of his first.
I swear that he was huge at one point.
He hit a million in 2012.
Okay, I'm an idiot. Yeah. Sorry.
But from 2010, 2011, he was at about 60,000.
So when did he hit 11 million? How off was I? How many years was I off on PewDiePie?
Probably a couple of years off. Maybe poor time perception.
Well, you don't need to go after my entire time perception, man.
I just feel like I have great time perception.
He hit the 32 million in 2014. So somewhere between 2012 and 2014.
Okay.
And he gained 10 million subs in 2 years.
So that's not that bad. Okay. He had a large change. It's because of his funniest gaming moments compilations.
Oh, yeah.
What was the name of that scary game he got famous for?
Amnesia.
Yep. I love that. I love watching him scream.
That's a fun one. I was a big fan of the Happy Wheels days. I remember, I had PewDiePie, Tobuscus, and someone else. Who was the other big Happy Wheeler? They played my level on Happy Wheels. It was the biggest day of my fucking life. No, I don't think it was Markiplier. Someone else was big in Happy Wheels, but I got all three, and that's all I wanted as like a 12-year-old man.
Was it White Boy 7th Street?
Yep.
No way. Wait, I hope he's okay.
No, no. I don't think it was White.
He's retired. You know that, right?
He's retired?
Yeah, I guess. So he, what happened? I watched his personal, he still uploads. Yeah. So he bought like a big plot of land somewhere in Wisconsin, and now he just kind of like lives off the land.
Wow. Good for
him.
That's
the dream right there.
So
Tucker heard that and his ears perked up. That's right up Tucker's alley.
I haven't heard the name White Boy 7th Street in forever.
Yeah,
my God, dude.
My favorite videos of his were the, when he would do, what's that? What was that game mode called where you would, a gun game.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And he
hello, ladies and gentlemen.
It is your host with the most.
With the most, yes, dude. Oh, dude. Fuck, man.
I didn't know you were such a big cot person.
Oh, huge. Dude, I have a whole YouTube channel dedicated to.
That's Schlatt's whole personality.
Dude, I have a whole YouTube channel dedicated to mimicking the old, like, 2011 Call of Duty commentary days.
It's called
The Weekly Slap. I purposely make my voice sound shitty to, like, make it look like it's a time period correct.
That's Tucker's favorite channel of yours. Did I ever tell you that?
Yeah, is it?
But I used to watch Woody's Gamer Tag, White Boy, all of them. Mm-hmm. So I was in the same boat as you.
Dude. So strange. But like,
Scene Anners, Hutch.
So I'm guessing your first YouTube channel ever was a Call of Duty one? Is that correct?
No, I tried to do VFX, actually. My first huge love on YouTube was Freddy W. and Quarter
Digital.
Okay,
well, I know we've talked about that before, but I guess I didn't really consider that. It was like your first thing. That's crazy because that's the same route I was sort of on.
Yeah, well,
we've had him on. We've had Freddie Wong on the podcast.
I definitely encountered the commentaries before, I want to say, but it never inspired me to like do those. But the VFX stuff I saw and I was just like, fuck, man.
Dude,
this is
Chrono
sick.
Trigger.
Yeah.
I think Chrono Trigger was the first one I saw.
God damn. I have vivid memories of coming home from school and watching those Freddie W. weekly videos. Dude, so fucking cool. Quarter Digital has got to be the only YouTube channel that I've been a fan of for like a decade straight.
They're in a bit of controversy right now. Have you been seeing that? So
yeah,
recently, Corridor Digital, they posted this video, which is a... it's basically like this story about like two brothers and they're fighting for the throne and they're doing a big game of rock, paper, scissors, but it's like anime supposedly. But the way that they did it is that they utilized footage that they shot as well as an AI and they fed a specific set of animes that matched the sort of theme that they were going for to a specific AI. I'm forgetting the name of it right now. And then use that to create these frames that they were making. And then they posted this video about how they did it, with it titled, Did We Change Animation Forever? Which I think was probably the beginning of why people were upset about it.
That was probably a little tone deaf.
Yeah. And basically the discourse surrounding it is like, okay, you took... Because they took frames and references specifically from specific animes. Like, not just like... Oh, this is, let's describe it of what we want. We're going to feed in this specific anime that was worked on by, you know, a studio and crew. And then we're going to use that to get our footage to where we want it to be. So it raised a lot of sort of like, okay, AI is a really interesting kind of thing because it sort of enters into the world of philosophy and like philosophical thought on terms of like morality and like to what extent something is made by a human and like creatively produced and like upon training other people's work to result in something. But on the other side of it, you know, Corridor planned out the shoot. They did the angles and stuff. They wrote the storyline and they composited it all together. So there was like work done there. It wasn't like, but it's a whole thing that's going to be a big topic, I think, especially in like the world of like copyright as well.
Yeah, of course, because you're just feeding it. I mean, all these AI are trained on copyrighted material. You can just say, hey, I want, at some point, I'm sure you'll be able to say, hey, I want this video to just look like a Jay Schlatt video, or something like
that. Right.
And it'll just have all mine in the database, and it'll be able to spit something out that's entirely on my copyrighted work. Right.
And then you've also got your voice can also be reproduced with like the AI. Like, it's weird how, like, I watched a Tom Scott video on this recently about like the progression of how like new technologies progress. And what we're in right now is like the huge spike upwards where there's a huge amount of sort of development and improvement, increase in these AI learning models. Because I feel like a year ago, like maybe like a year before sort of some of these more popular AIs come out, there was like voice synthesizers like you could find on the web. Like one early on in the Chuckle Sandwich Twitter, I did this bit where before like these Call of Duty sort of edits of like Joe Biden playing with Donald Trump kind of started showing up. I did this bit of I was having Ben Shapiro say that he was officially endorsing the Chuckle Sandwich podcast. And that was like a year and a half or so before this other stuff started really getting popular. And it's improving at like an insane rate that I've like I just don't know where we're going to be in like 2 years. Like it could be anywhere really. What do you think about that, Daly?
I think it's beautiful. I think it's unfortunate from my disinformation, standpoint, obviously. But otherwise, it's hilarious.
Dude, you could get someone to just train a model of your voice, and you'd never have to work another day in your life.
Dude, the voice is the easy part. The hard part is finding the content. And so that's why I started hiring people. I'm like, I'm tired of doing this by myself. I'm never going to get big enough by myself. I have to build a team. And so I started hiring people to find videos for me and find content. And that's why I signed a deal with Storyful. I'm like, I'm tired of having subpar videos. I want to get huge. And the only way to do that is to form a team. You can't do it by yourself. And there's only so many hours of the day. So
yeah.
Here's a question I have for you regarding the AI. In regards to your work you're doing right now, because one of the conversations is about, you know, artists who make, you know, physical work are worried about, you know, whether or not their job security is up to question because of these, you know, AI models that are being trained on their work. For you, for someone who finds and, you know, is posting these viral videos, if AI gets to the point where it is able, people are able to create just a scenario that they show and they send it into a training model and it puts out a video that looks like it was filmed by someone in a camera at a zoo of like a monkey like throwing bananas at another monkey and like in like a, as if they're in a snowball fight, and that's entirely AI generated, and then they make do you think that that is something that could affect your job, and would you start like making fake AI videos for your stuff?
I will be not on YouTube anymore when that's an issue. So
that could be like 3 years from now.
Yeah, but here's the thing. So people, I have a submission form, and people abuse it. Some people will submit videos that are obviously licensed by another company. They will submit videos of their cat doing something absolutely nothing. Sometimes they will really abuse it, and they'll send like straight up crimes, like people like kicking their dog and shit. I'm like, okay, I don't know
like
what's going.
Like personal videos of them sending that in?
Yeah.
Oh, that's sick. That's so cool of them to do that.
But sometimes people will send in fake videos too. Uh-huh. And so I found this video. I almost fell for it. I'm like, oh, that was good. It was a gender reveal video. And it was a fighter jet. And it flew over someone's house. And they're like, come on outside, honey. Come on, look. And it was a pink trail. And I almost fell. It looked so real. And then I was like, it's fake. And I post on Twitter, people are like, this is real, dude. I'm like, it's fake. And so I kind of like regret it because I'm like, I could have just easily posted that as a YouTube video. I'm like, yeah, wow, these people in Australia had a flyover as for a gender reveal.
I think there will always be a market, even when fake videos get like almost indistinguishable. I think there'll always be a market for actual creative, real videos.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that'll ever fade.
Yeah.
No.
That's sort of where my mind goes as well. I think it's interesting that you ended up not using the gender reveal video. What was initially like tipped you off to it being fake? Because one of the things I was thinking in my head is, was it like a fighter jet?
It was a fighter jet. Yes. It was
Tucker, what do you estimate how much that would be in fuel?
No, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. He was in the military.
Oh.
So that's why he had the connections.
Is it the Discovery Bay Studios one?
But did you?
Because this is like a long form video of them doing that.
Oh, did you find it? Like, did you actually find the video?
I don't know if this is what you're referencing, but it's a video of, it's kind of like an antique jet, and there's a bunch of people at like a hangar, and they're doing it.
No.
This one.
So if you just
wait, but this is another jet gender reveal thing.
Yes, epic baby gender reveal jet flyover.
Because if it's something,
this one's definitely real.
Oh, you hear that?
Link that to me.
I don't think it's good. I'll put it in the chat.
You don't think it's Daily Dose, right?
I don't think it's good. Like, yeah, it's kind of
boring.
It's not very clip style, but they did it.
Wow. You may have just given him his dream back, Tucker. You may have just returned to him what he lost.
I take cash and card. So, fantastic. You know.
Dude, Tucker puts his square up to like the Discord screen.
But yeah, I mean, I love hanging out with streamers, and it's only because I've never had friends before. So this is my first time I've ever had friends, and it's great. I'm super obsessed with meeting new people, and now I'm learning about drama for the first time. I'm like, now I'm like, oh, so you can't be friends with everyone. Oh,
wow. Yeah.
That was the most heartbreaking moment. I was like,
because sometimes people are bad people. Sometimes people turn out to be like murderers. Yeah. Which is the craziest one. That is the craziest one.
That is true. That is true.
That is true. I don't think I could be friends with the murderer. No.
No. Oh. Mm-hmm. Interesting. All right. We'll have a chat when you come down to Austin.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I want to, obviously, I want to go to Austin so badly. And do you know that there's a dinosaur park near you? That dinosaur whatever park in Texas? I don't think that, is it near Austin or is it Dallas?
A dinosaur park? I don't think I've ever heard of
it.
So
I want to feature park. I want to feature this in a YouTube video really badly. There is a park, like a national park in Texas, that still has dinosaur footprints.
Oh, that's sick!
Really?
Yeah, you can just
what
walk
the fuck?
Out. It's like the Sandy Canyon area. And
okay, Schlatt, when Shay and I come out there, we gotta. Shay loves dinosaurs. We gotta check that out. That sounds sick.
Okay.
But I
Dinosaur Valley State Park.
That's the one
in Glen Rose.
Yeah, I think it's Dallas, isn't it?
I have no idea. I have no fucking clue.
Okay, it's Dallas.
I don't leave Austin.
Tucker's like getting mad at him like a parent. He's like, Schlatt, you should know this.
But dude, Dose, when you come down to Texas, class. When you come down to Texas, we'll have a great time. I'll show you around. We'll shoot some guns.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
There's a thing where you can get up in a helicopter and shoot at wild boar with a machine gun and. At night, when it gets darker, you put on a pair of night vision goggles and then do a night crawl and shoot
it's
more
so
boar.
Ridiculous. It's
I'm
such,
definitely
that's
not,
the most American
not,
thing
I've
not
ever
heard.
For that, but
damn.
I mean, not, no.
You're not into that?
I'm not into it.
I mean, you can cook them later. You can get bacon. Mr. Dose, would you rather have unlimited bacon, but no more games?
I hate bringing this up, but I'm vegan, so.
Well, let him just finish the question because this is like an important question that you need to.
Okay.
So that's why I'm kind of like not hunting person or night.
Damn. Okay. Well, hear me out. Hear me out.
Okay.
Would you rather have unlimited bacon?
I don't know. Okay. If I've ever gotten that response before, so that, by the way.
But no, we've never. I this is a curveball. But no more games. Or would you rather have games? Unlimited games.
Unlimited.
But no games.
Unlimited games, but no games.
Yeah. Yeah.
I thought that was pretty
crystal. It was crystal slime.
You said, would you rather have unlimited games but no games?
Did I stutter when I was saying it? Do you need me to repeat the question?
I would rather.
I just feel like it was pretty. Well, I don't know.
You
I
seem
mean,
frustrated.
We've been
almost.
Talking for a while. Maybe we're just a little bit tired, but I do in particular feel like Schlatt was being pretty cut and dry right there.
I think I'd rather have unlimited games but no games.
Interesting.
Wow.
Okay.
Fair enough. Okay.
And so, Daily Dose, if you had to choose what portion of the chuckle sandwich you are, what portion, what
piece would you be? You could be whatever you want. What piece would you be of the chuckle sandwich?
Well, I like being the bread because I want to hold everyone together. Now I just want everything to
okay,
be
now that is door. That is an interesting, because I'm actually the butt piece of bread.
Yeah.
The butt piece of bread?
You can be bread, but you gotta I'm two butt pieces of bread here. I mean, so that you kind of came after me right there.
Be a very bready sandwich, and there's no meat. It would be lacking substance entirely, considering I'm just mayonnaise.
I said you could do anything, but you kind of threw me for a loop there. That was crazy.
Cool. Well, yeah, I'm excited. I mean, I haven't shot a.
He's doubling up on the bread.
Do you want to be like a bread piece in the middle? For structure.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of sandwiches that have more than two pieces of bread.
It's true. What type of bread would you be?
Wheat, obviously. Yeah.
Wheat?
Wow.
Okay.
Because everything else is gross.
Okay.
That's something you just said.
That is something you said. You don't like sourdough bread?
It just doesn't, like, I don't know. For some reason, like,
dude,
just
I've never heard of anyone that doesn't like sourdough bread. That is wild. Really?
I'm not a bread expert. I don't know. I just eat bread, you know?
Fair. No, it's fair.
I don't like to think about like what type of bread. I just eat it, you know? Maybe I do like sour bread. I don't know.
Well, the bread itself isn't actually sour.
Okay.
I feel like I've created tension between us about this bread. And I just want you to know I love you.
Yeah, well, we do love you. Thank you so much for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. This is really exciting. And do I need to do a sign off?
Oh, if you'll grace us,
if you yeah, please.
All right, that's the end of this podcast. I really hope you enjoyed, and I'll see you guys again very, very soon. Later.
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 Nice buns, soft, fluffy, and ultra low net carbs. Discover Hero Bread, the delicious ultra low net carb bread. With incredible taste and texture, Hero Bread has 0 grams of sugar and is under 100 calories per serving. Plus, high in fiber with 5 to 10 grams of protein per serving. Available on Amazon.com, Walmart.com, and at Hero.co. That's Hero.co. Delicious, ultra-low net-carb Hero Bread buns and tortillas. Soft and fluffy, high in fiber, and with 0 grams of sugar, up to 10 grams of protein, coming in at under 100 calories. Order today at hero.co and use the code AH10 to get 10% off your first purchase. That's AH10 at hero.co. HERO.CO. Order from hero.co now and get 10% off your first purchase with promo code AH10. That's 10% off with code AH10. HERO.CO.